As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome, everybody, to the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. As you might have noticed, I am not Michael Beller. Prayers up and thoughts and good wishes as Mike is sick and the health and safety protocols as he texted Brandon and myself as he's getting through. Hopefully, he's ready for Christmas and happy holidays to everybody. Get that out of the way. Brandon, is your all holiday shopping done? Are you ready, set, and everything?
I think so. I could, you know, I have like this tug saying you should go out and get a couple more things, but I think I'm all said and done at this point. I'm just ready.
Best thing yesterday. Whoever came up with it was terrific. It said, please be nice to the people at the stores or whatever the first part was. Like, please be nice to everybody. It's not their fault you waited till Mary's water broke to go shopping.
That is great. That was everybody yesterday. I don't know. Did you go out yesterday at all?
No.
My God. It was mayhem.
Everybody always asked me.
Horrible.
I'm like, my holiday shopping is done by like Cyber Monday, Tuesday, because I do it all online. I do the Black Fridays, the Cyber Mondays. Like, by that week, I'm done and it's all online. So I don't have to deal with all that.
It's smart. I've heard about people like you. Never actually.
I know.
Yeah, never actually really.
I'm happy. You can see. I don't have to deal with people. I just nothing. I go out to get some food. We're going to do the Thursday Night Football show at the end. So that's way if you're listening to this after Thursday Night Football, you don't have to sift through it at the beginning and try to guess, skip ahead or whatever. So we're going to jump into Saturday as of right now, Brandon. Yeah. We do have two Saturday games.
Let's put air quotes around everything.
Air quotes for Saturday. Cleveland at Green Bay. The biggest question, I think, from the Cleveland side I want to ask you, Brandon, and I talked about this on my podcast with Jeff, and I talked about Pat, and we talked about it on his podcast. This is the big question is, after what we just learned from Week 15, and I say that in quotes as well, we kind of learned. A lot of the people who had symptoms seem to not come back 100%. Like those, like the Gaskin, Daryl Henderson, we can go down the list. There's a few guys who have come back and been fine, but for the majority, you could say overarching, you know, symptoms, not the best game, their first game back. Does that concern you for Jarvis Landry against Green Bay, where he should be normally in the wide receiver 3 conversation, but maybe you think about benching him because he is coming off the symptom COVID side of things?
Yeah, I mean, everything about Cleveland concerns me. The health of people, but because they've been so largely inconsistent, and even Nick Chubb has had games where he just hasn't delivered when there was nothing else wrong other than just, you know, going in. So, like, I just don't know where you hang your hat with anybody in Cleveland. It's a horrible matchup on the road in Green Bay. Yeah, I don't know what the spread is. I haven't looked, but gosh.
That's Beller's job. We're not doing that today.
I know. Beller would have it. Beller would have it at the ready.
He'd know it off the top of his head.
I feel like it's got to be around a touchdown. I mean, that's if I'm just guessing. And you would think that the game script could favor Jarvis Landry, but you're right. Like he's to me, if you know, I have
him final. Four.
Yeah, I was just going to say that he was probably in the back end of my top 40, which would put him as kind of an upside wide receiver 4.
Okay. Yeah, I was pulling up the weather too, just to check because we are in weather time of year. It's right. Going to be in the 30s, but clear. We'll talk about a game that I just pulled up that does have
a legitimate possible concern. But not
Green Bay side of it, the only question I have for you on this one, I agree with you about Landry. He's got more risk. Normally he's the floor guy, but this is definitely a more risk situation. On the Green Bay side of it, you edit my waiver column, so you know for weeks on end I've been saying don't go chasing Valdes-Scantling, don't go chasing Alan Lazard, because every other week it's the other guy, and then sometimes it's neither of them. But Valdes-Scantling, as of right now, he did get put on the COVID list. With the new rules, he could return. But assuming Valdes-Scantling now, does that make you feel like, all right, I'm starting Lazard because now it's just down to one? Or here's the question, Fustin. Could it just be Equanimeous St. Brown or somebody else or Joseph DeGuire, his last name?
DeGuire, yeah, the tight end. Yeah, it could be, but I'll tell you what. You brought up Jarvis Landry. I think a good way to look at Marquez Valdes-Scantling, I say, you know, Landry, if you're sitting there and you're deciding between Landry and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, this is where I look at the projections of my matchup. And if even though Jarvis Landry and Marquez Valdes-Scantling might have the same projections.
Oh, you mean Lazard? Because Valdes-Scantling might be out.
Oh, yeah. Lazard. Yeah. Well, yeah, Valdes-Scantling has more upside than obviously Lazard. But Lazard with no place. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is probably just, not that dissimilar. So I would play the Lazard over Jarvis Landry if I was going for ceiling.
Okay. All right, then in the next game, Indianapolis at Arizona. Here's the easy question for Indianapolis, and I already know my statement. Michael Pittman's already back inside my top 20 because I only cared about last week's matchup, and he got booted out of the game in a bad matchup, but he's right back. Like, are you – some people are out there like, ooh, do I bench him after – we're going right back to Michael Pittman, right? Like, this
yeah, –
am I crazy?
Yeah, I mean – well, we just saw Josh Reynolds and Amon-Ra St. Brown ball out against these guys. Yeah, I would complete concurrence with you on the matchup being the issue. Michael Pittman's done enough this year to have my trust in a matchup that's not, a completely on the far end of being daunting. So, and I don't think that's it. Who knows what Arizona team's going to show up? And I'm sure they're going to have some fight him after a horrible game last week. But I still don't see this as daunting a matchup as New England was.
Okay, so then real quick on the Indianapolis side, I was going to move on then, but I want to sidebar for the COVID situation. I said last year, we talked about it on the shows last year, I said hold over the rule for this year, not expecting it to be this form of the rule, but last year we had it was different. Last year, you remember, it was like Thursday, he might be on COVID by Sunday. Like last year, it was like we had to wait days to find out. This year, we might wake up the morning of... and it might be you got put on COVID. We just saw that happen this past week and the week before. So I said, hold over the, if you implemented the contingency plan rule, and this is where I'm going with it. So it's the, hey, Travis Kelce is on COVID. If he doesn't get cleared by 4 p.m., I'm putting in CJ Uzma. But if Kelce plays, Kelce plays. Whether or not even if Uzma scores 20 and Kelce only scores 5, you still get Kelce because that was your statement. You're making the contingency plan. So I'm saying that to set up this. If you don't have that, how far down your rankings would you have to go to put in Hines to get guaranteed points at running back this week, Brandon? Like, if it's Hines versus, David Montgomery, I think you probably still wait, don't you? But if it's Hines versus Tony Pollard, do you wait? Like, that's kind of the conundrum we're dealing with right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's more like, I mean, can you have other options further down the road where – like is Corey Clement or somebody like that, suddenly that's maybe as it makes it willing to wait as compared to Nyheim Hines plugging him in right now. So, I would look at all my contingencies. It's very much contextual based for an answer. It's like you have to know what you could also pivot to if not Tony Pollard and you surpass this game without putting somebody into your lineup. So, Nyheim Hines, I don't really want to go into my fantasy semifinals with Nyheim Hines. I'd try to strive for better. You might as well at this point. I kind of feel like you might as well give yourself your best chance to win the game at this point. You made it this far.
Okay. So let's talk about Arizona, because Arizona is the more murky of the two teams. Easy answer is if there's no James Conner, Chase Edmonds, he's a lock in your lineup. Chase Edmonds is probably in your lineup no matter what.
Yeah. Well, how are you ranking those guys? Because I actually am ranking Chase Edmonds higher. I'm already making the assumption that James Conner, he has to practice today because today's like a Friday, a normal Friday.
Right.
Since it's a Saturday game.
And so I have them super close. Thursday morning. Chase Edmonds high 20 or
James Conner high 20s, Chase Edmonds low 20s. So they're super close. But it's mostly comes down to if it's the same 50-50 split, who's the person that's going to get the touchdown? You said it for weeks. James Conner was your guy for like the entire year.
Yeah, well, even if James Conner's at like 35% and Chase Edmonds is 65%, it still could be James Conner getting the touchdown, exiting early, and he ends up being just as good as Chase Edmonds anyway. So
exactly.
So, yeah, I have him ranked pretty close together. I am hedging a little bit in the Edmonds direction. I'm kind of feeling like he might end up like Conner may not end up playing, but that's just complete guesswork.
No, that's the easy one. So let's talk about the wide receivers, and then I have an interesting maybe question you might not expect. So first, at wide receiver, coming off not what we wanted from A.J. Green with no DeAndre Hopkins, but are A.J. Green and Christian Kirk a lock in all lineups for you? And then with no potential Rondell Moore, do you even care about a third, or is it just those two? Move on.
I think it's just those two, and then move on.
But you're still rolling out A.J. Green off a quietish game.
I am, but I'm now suddenly, you know, it's kind of like my eyes have suddenly turned to Christian Kirk as being kind of like the lead guy of this group, and AJ Green being last week it was flip flopped. I'm now just kind of Kirk seems like he's been more consistent over the course of the year, and I'm kind of leaning.
Yeah, we're finally getting the Christian Kirk breakout. So all right, here's the question that you might not expect: how far down do you have to go at quarterback to bench Kyler Murray? So you said, and I've mentioned it a bunch of times, you said at the beginning of this year you didn't have Kyler Murray as high because you didn't think he was going to run. He said he wasn't going to run. I tweeted out this stat earlier this week because I was texting with Emery, and we were talking about the thing that spurred it was that we were talking about that Russell Wilson doesn't like to run this year, and he's taking away part of his own game. And I said, you know what's funny is Kyler Murray is doing the same thing we keep talking about on the show. And I pulled this up. You might not know this, Fonston. It is a stark contrast. So attempts per game, down from 8.3 to 6.4, almost two fewer rushing attempts per game. His rushing yards, 51 to 24, because also the yards per carry, 6.2 to 3.9. All of that is coming out to over two fewer points per game, not surprisingly. So now I set up again the question for you: how far down, with Murray's passing play being subpar of late as well, do you have to go before you bench Kyler Murray?
So, you're talking COVID again, or what are you talking here? Like,
I'm just talking about period. You have Kyler Murray and somebody else. Would you start Taysom Hill? Would you start Kirk Cousins? Would you start?
Well, I'll tell you,
Justin Fields.
I actually have him ranked eighth right now. So that's like I have Matt Stafford ahead of him. I have Jalen Hurts ahead of him. I have Tom Brady ahead of him. I have Pat Mahomes, Justin Herbert. And right now I have Josh Allen as well. So those are some of the guys. And I, you know, he's right in front of guys like Taysom Hill. Dak Prescott, that would be a tough one. But who's carrying Dak Prescott and Kyler Murray? I mean, I know there's a few, but it's a corner case at best. I think of the potential guys that you might have both, like you could have Jalen Hurts and Kyler Murray. I would go Jalen Hurts. I think that's kind of the one guy.
That's an easy one.
Yeah. So... But all the other ones are like guys where you're like Josh
Allen. So to be clear, because people are asking, so you're not doing Cousins, Fields, Garoppolo. You wouldn't go that far.
No, and I don't think you are either, are you?
No, but you know, these are the questions we get. That's why, you know, we're covering for the people listening.
I know you're aggressive on Kyler this week. I look at your rankings as well, so I know that I know I'm lower on Kyler than you are.
I'm honestly, the biggest one, I'm coming, not that anybody has to make this decision, I'm hemming and hawing on like who would I rather, if I had the option, nobody has this option, but if I had the option of Tom Brady versus Kyler Murray, who would I start? That's the one I'm going back and forth on, because that one seems like tough.
I know, I'm buying into the whole scorched earth narrative for Tom Brady, that when something like that happens, he comes back just pissed off.
I'm not throwing Ronald Jones anyway, screw you guys. I'm going to put up 500 to four touchdowns.
Waving off the play from the sideline and calling another pass.
That's a 1 o'clock game, right? All right, we're not going straight north. That's a 1 o'clock game. Let's talk Tampa Bay. So this is another one. If Mike Evans plays, you're playing Mike Evans, you're playing Antonio Brown, you're playing Rob Gronkowski, you're playing Tom Brady, blah, 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 blah. The easy answer, too, is you're just playing Ronald Jones. It doesn't matter if you rank Ronald Jones 9 or 15 or 18 or 2. If you picked up Ronald Jones, you're starting him. So here's the question now. If there's no Mike Evans, do you have interest in Breshad Perriman coming off COVID,
or Tyler Johnson, who's been playing without Tyler, you know, but this, before this point, Perriman was in front of Tyler Johnson. Like, this is the murky situation here. It's like, who is the wide receiver two, quote unquote?
Yeah, I don't know if I would try to play the game and then go with that. I would just, I mean, I, again, this comes down to who your options are going to be, but I have a feeling that that could that could just be completely random after Gronkowski and Antonio Brown. And I just don't know if I want to try to play the guessing game with that. I mean, I would be interested in pairing, but you mentioned, you know, how guys are coming off the COVID have not really kind of came back at 100%. And it just, it's a good Carolina defense as well. We can't forget that. So Brady might find that he's working things with Antonio Brown. I have Antonio Brown ranked super aggressively, like, you know, because he's a guy that can get open and pretty much all day long. And I think Brady's going to be willing to throw him the ball all day long. So, those other guys just might be fighting for a small piece of pie.
Yeah, I have Antonio Brown at 15 with Mike Evans in my rankings. So
yeah, I'm number six or seven without Mike Evans. I'm kind of playing it as Mike Evans not being there. But again,
so you're benching Stephon Diggs if your choice is Stephon Diggs versus Antonio Brown.
it's a coin flip. I don't know. A lot of these things take care of themselves. I don't know if someone's really going to have to be pushed into that decision.
Oh, nobody has to make that decision. But I just wanted to.
What
put
about
it out
if
there.
Mike Evans isn't playing? What are you doing?
I would probably stop at 11. I have Chase at 10, Higgins at 11. I'd split them apart and sandwich him right in between. I love the Bengals against, well, we'll talk about, hold on a second. We'll get to that game in a second. We have to finish the other side of this. Carolina. Actually, here's my question for you.
What do you want to talk about Carolina?
That's my point. Do you start anybody, DJ Moore included, do you start anybody in this game?
I know.
DJ Moore's been, not to cut you off, but DJ Moore, for everybody out there, has been a wide receiver three. He's banged up. Cam Newton's starting, but they've already opened the door that Sam Darnold might come in and play this game. We obviously don't trust Robbie Anderson. The backfield is Abdullah in passing games, which should be Abdullah, but really you have to be kind of desperate to start Abdullah. So I go back to, that's why I asked the question for everybody out there that might understand what we're laughing at, is that, do you even start anybody for the Carolina Panthers?
Yeah, he's like DJ Moore is now like a middle class version of Amon-Ra St. Brown, and so like they almost swapped in my rankings this week because I've got Amon-Ra St. Brown in my top 20, where I usually have DJ Moore, and DJ Moore is a wide receiver three for me. So I look at DJ Moore does have double digit volume each of the last three games, and that's going to win the day as far as probably end up finding a way to rationalize him into my flex spot. I think given the volume, no matter who the quarterback's been, he's been the guy that's been leading in targets consistently.
Can we say we actually hope Sam Darnold's at quarterback?
Yes.
Poor DJ Moore.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure there's some super flex people that are saying no, because Cam Newton I can get down with as your second quarterback in a super flex league. But good Lord, I would not want to be leaning on him entirely as my quarterback in a fantasy semifinal.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Well, then on the other side of that situation, or similar situation, I should say, is we're hoping, you mentioned Amon-Ra St. Brown, so thank you for the transition. We're hoping Jared Goff is at quarterback, because if there is no Jared Goff, you are not, correct me if I'm wrong, Foss, I'm going to assume you're dropping St. Brown about 15, 20 spots.
Tons. I would really have a hard time talking myself into playing those guys. It's going to be such a stark difference.
So this is what, because Swift is practicing. I think this is a little surprising, mostly because I thought they would just kind of like not push it, maybe week 18, just to say like, yeah, I'll get a few snaps for the end of the season. But it sounds like he's coming back. Jamal Williams is coming back, which Craig Reynolds' fun is immediately out the window. That was a lot of fun for 2 weeks at least, although I don't know anybody got to enjoy it outside of maybe one game. So DeAndre Swift, here's what I say. I know we have to start him as the lead option. He's probably in flex consideration with the ceiling to be an RB1. You know, that's why flex consideration. But if it's Tim Boyle, do you even start Swift? Like,
I mean, if Swift is out there, again, it's like DJ Moore, and it's like
you kind of have to.
You kind of have to, and you're probably talking yourself into putting him into your flex because it's a nice kind of upside in your flex. And
well, then let me give you an either or.
Okay. Between the two?
No, I'm going to give you a choice between two. DeAndre Swift with Tim Boyle at quarterback or Deonta Foreman?
Deonta Foreman, I think the nice thing here is you get to play bird in hand and go with the guy who's playing on Thursday night, and you know it's a good option. And if it's close enough, and this is what we've been saying the last couple of weeks, if you have two options that are arguable, go with the guy that comes up first on the schedule that you know is going to be in there. So, yeah.
Well, you know what a lot of people are going to say. If a lot of people are going to be like, I did that with Taysom Hill, and then I missed out on Jalen Hurts. And I was like, yeah, I know, that sucks. Trust me, I did it in a league
for
myself.
Yeah, it's not a perfect, but, you know, you're going to at least save, you're going to have the safety is going to be on, at least, and you're not going to get screwed completely, although you kind of did in that game. That was an anomaly.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, so Atlanta side of it, do you bench Cordarrelle Patterson? You know, you read my, it's like, so for everybody out there, he knows that I have him as my, you might want to actually start him because I think people are considering benching him the way he's been used. So Funston, before reading my article, like, what was your feeling? Is this just purely you're facing the lineup and it's facing the Lions and you're going to put him in your lineup? And if it wasn't for that, you would consider benching Cordarrelle Patterson?
Yeah, it's mostly the Lions. And it's also partly me creating a narrative where I'm Arthur Smith, and I'm like, what was the point of limiting Cordarrelle Patterson? How'd that work for us? We'd have nobody else that can do anything. Why are we doing this? He's not our hybrid running back wide receiver of the future. He's a guy that we got really lucky on. We won the lottery for getting this guy for practically nothing, and he's our leading guy. What are we saving him for? So, like, I talk myself into thinking that's going to pop up and they're going to be like, yeah, let's just go back to business as usual with Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, breaking news as we're doing this. Mike Evans sideline again for practice. There you go. That's a bad, bad start. So Baltimore, Cincinnati. I kind of already teased this a little bit. I am all over Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins. If you somehow advanced and you're pissed off about Higgins and Chase, don't be. Put them right back in your lineup. You destroy the Ravens in the past before they were down to their 700th option at corner. But here's the question for the Cincinnati side of it. Joe Mixon's coming off a banged-up game. He's already practicing, which kudos to Joe Mixon. I mean, I honestly thought, I didn't think he was coming back in that game, let alone what could potentially happen for this week. But the one good thing about the Ravens defense is it's still very strong against the run. Joe Mixon has been struggling of late. Joe Mixon had been seeing 20 plus touches every game, so he's banged up too. P. Ryan's getting more involved. I know you probably don't bench Joe Mixon versus the options you have, but if you happen to pick up Jeff Wilson, if you happen to have Chase Edmonds, if you happen to pick up, here's the big one. Here, I'll give you a perfect one. Devin Singletary or Joe Mixon?
I'm probably going to go Joe Mixon. And one thing I'll say is
what about your boy, Penny?
Oh, man. I'm going Joe Mixon. If Joe Mixon's the starting running back, I'm going to go Joe Mixon. We can feel good that it was Samaje Perine who ran against the Ravens last time, and he's a little bit different runner, but he had success. And I just wonder, because Joe Burrow, and if they have as much success as we're hoping and thinking they will in the past, it's going to open things up and create some opportunities for the running back. So, so if we think this Cincinnati's offense just going to be generally good, but it's going to be mostly passing, there might still be touchdown opportunities, goal-to-go situations that could favor Joe Mixon, and also just getting the Ravens to kind of like spread out on defense and open up some lanes. It might not be a run-heavy game, but like Samaje Perine last time, it was like 11 for 50 or something like that, and I think he got into the end zone, so could be something similar.
Okay. On Baltimore side, is this simple cut and paste? It's, hey, Mark Andrews, Marquise Brown, and then Bateman's only relevant if Lamar Jackson's starting. If Lamar Jackson's not starting, we don't care.
Yeah, and I think the only thing we're wondering is, like, if it's not Lamar Jackson, it's not that far back that you're ranking Huntley, I don't think. I mean, he's going to probably be, I think I'm like right around quarterback 10, 11 on Lamar Jackson. I'm going to be no worse than like quarterback 15 on Tyler Huntley. So we've seen him in, you know, not exactly the upside of Lamar Jackson on the ground, but he is still very dangerous with his feet. That's something that you can almost bank on being a part of it.
All right, for the next game, Rams at Minnesota. The Minnesota Vikings are very easy. There's nothing to discuss there. Thielen is back. You start Thielen. Thielen's not back. You maybe start Osborne, and everybody knows what to do there. The Rams, look, you're going back to Van Jefferson, Odell Beckham, depending on your options. The only question we have for the Rams side, and actually this game as a whole, what are we doing with Michelle and Henderson? Did that first game back at Henderson, this is the Gaskin situation, and we think it might be back to Henderson as the lead, maybe 50-50, or is this legitimately, it was 85% Sony Michel. Like, do you think that carries over?
I think some of it does. They might work Henderson in more, but I think Sony Michel is in the number one chair right now. And he looked really good. He, you know, getting yards after contact, picking up big plays. I think he just there. I think he's really developed some faith with the coaching staff in him. And they talk him up. And I think it was pretty telling that he got 85% when they were saying that they were just going to ride the hot hand. They weren't saying that they were going to ease Henderson in. They talked going in about riding the hot hand. And Sony Michel stepped up, got the hot hand, and they kept going with it. And I think that has to carry over. So, yeah, right now I'm ranking Michel as a back-end RB2, and Daryl Henderson's kind of like right there in the middle of my RB3s. Yeah.
So that's certainly fair. So next game being the Bills and the Patriots is a very tough matchup for the Bills. Might be very run-heavy on both sides of it. So the question I have to you, after what we just saw with Gabriel Davis, Emmanuel Sanders sounds like he might return, but there's no Cole Beasley. It's still a tough matchup. Do you put Gabriel Davis out there as a wide receiver 3, or is he down further than that even after what we just saw?
Yeah, I don't know. He's always had a knack for finding the end zone. He's not always been the big yards guy. He's kind of been more like
Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, exactly. And Josh Allen likes to take his shots. It's just the defense, you know, is so tough. New England's just such a strong defense that I have Gabe Davis ranked. I have to look, but I think I have him right around that wide receiver 40 range, a couple spots before or after. So I'm not banking on him. I'm banking him as more as a wide receiver 4 that with some upside in the, you know, end up being a flex worthy play given your roster. But like, I don't know if I'm looking to double down on what we saw last week from him.
Speaking of doubling down in the backfield of the Patriots, this is the only, because we know the scenario, no Harris, Stevenson out there, you play Stevenson even coming off a game script. He got game scripted. We talked about that on Monday. On the flip side, there's no Stevenson Harris, you're playing Harris. Here's the question is, if they're both out there, do you just play both at this point? Is this just the lesser version of the Broncos?
I guess, but I just have come to the conclusion after watching both these guys all year that I'm just a lot more comfortable with Damian Harris being the guy.
I'm surprised at the people that like Stevenson.
Yeah, no, every time more. I watch Harris, it seems like his motor runs high, he gets yak, they seem like they want to lead with him. Even games where he's been was kind of hobbled and you weren't really sure, you go out and watch him, he looked great, you know, and I just think he feels like the lead guy. I feel like Bill Belichick feels like he's the lead guy. He was a touchdown machine week in and week out when he was playing, so I'm going to rank Damian Harris as the lead guy, and I would be, you know, it's going to be a tough situation whether I decide to put in Ramondre Stevenson, you know. He's again, he'd be an RB3 in that class with Daryl Henderson. I mean, that would be like, you know, so that's kind of where I'd be at with him.
Okay, so Jaguars, Jets, I mean, we're starting James Robinson. Probably if you're in the playoffs, you're not having to start any Jaguars wide receiver. On the Jets side of things, you probably don't have to start any Jets wide receiver, but the question might be, after what you saw, Michael Carter's first game back, the split, though the matchup is enticing, Tevin Coleman, Michael Carter, do either of them make it into your lineup if you're still alive?
Like, I think I'm playing Michael Carter over Henderson and Stevenson, but I'm not playing him over Michelle or Damian Harris, if that makes sense. He kind of falls.
So he's
that.
Behind the top half of the splits, but in front of the back half of the splits.
Exactly. That's kind of where I'm at with him. I do like the matchup. I can kind of talk about, okay, that was his first game back. You know, we saw that he's obviously their running back of the future. They're in running back of the future time of the schedule. Like, you know, they probably going to try to get him some more run in this game. And so I'll talk myself into that, but that's, you know, I can't get quite to the RB2 level with him.
So the Giants and the Eagles, this one, there's not really a lot to talk into because you're starting everybody. Barkley, Sanders, Goddard, Devonta Smith, Hurts. So the only one you might talk yourself into, Fustin, and you might be expecting this, if it is Jake Fromm and not Mike Glennon, and Kadarius Toney is back because there is no Sterling Shepard, would you talk yourself into starting Kadarius Toney, or are you just don't even get that cute?
Yeah, I think don't get that cute because you're talking about a bottom three offense. That's been largely with Daniel Jones contributing to that, you know. So even with their number one quarterback, they're still a bad offense, really bad offense. And we haven't seen Kadarius Toney in forever, kind of along the lines of like A.J. Brown. I hate the idea of a guy coming back after such a long layoff and you have to – and you start talking yourself into playing the guy, you know. There's just so much we wouldn't know about this game with Kadarius Toney coming in, his chemistry with Jake Fromm. It's not a good offensive environment anyways. I'm talking myself out of that if I possibly can.
Okay. Well, then, or are you talking yourself into starting Justin Jackson if there is no Austin Ekeler? Or are you worried we're going to face 2020 all over again and it's going to be Jackson and Kelly and whoever they decide to potentially even activate in this game?
Well, I would talk myself into Justin Jackson pretty strongly. And it's because...
RB2 strongly?
Yeah. Yeah, I would be probably about RB16 or so on him.
Damian Harris or Justin Jackson?
I think I would go Justin Jackson. It's because of the matchup. It's because of the fact that I don't think...
Jeff Wilson or Justin Jackson?
We're going to get Debo back there. And Jeff Wilson is Latavius Murray now, although he was better than Latavius Murray, but he is in that 60 yards and a touchdown, or 60 yards and no touchdown.
This goes back to before. Would you start Jeff Wilson not knowing that Austin Ekeler might clear for Sunday instead of trying to wait for Justin Jackson?
Well, you're going to get – if you're talking, basically what you're saying is you have Ekeler, Jackson, and Wilson. I would let it ride.
What if you don't
I would let it
Ekeler.
Ride. Oh, well, then I would go Wilson. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Some people have Jackson without Ekeler, and then if you have Ekeler play, then obviously Jackson's – volume goes out the window. So
yeah, this goes back to the Foreman and whatever.
All right, then here, last one before we move to the next game. Justin Jackson or Saquon Barkley with no Austin Ekeler?
Justin Jackson.
Wow. Week 16.
I mean, they're gonna run 30 times against Houston. That's just the way it goes. And you know, even if you get Josh Kelly or even Larry Roundtree in the mix, I feel good that Jackson's getting at least half of those, at least 15 of those 30 carries are going to Justin Jackson, at least, plus some passing game work.
All right. The one question, are you ready to throw out this cliche? I'm gonna throw it at you, Funston. Brandon Cooks is on COVID. Let's say Brandon Cooks doesn't play. Who else are they going to throw it to? You don't see it, but I see Funston shaking his head no because
I
was about to
I'm
say.
I'm doing the Nico Collins? Yeah. You ever see Bull Durham where Nuke Lelouch leans in, doesn't like the call, and shaking off the sign?
No. Yeah. So you're not doing anything with the Houston offense, period.
Period. No, you don't. That seems like something that you'd just be mumbling about in January. I can't believe I effing chose to lean on a
Nico
text.
Collins.
Yeah, yes, in my semifinal, and here I am with nothing to show for it.
Can Danny Amendola come back? Watch it be Danny Amendola with like a 11 catch, 87 yards and no touchdown type of game.
Tis the season for sure. Duke Johnson, it's Duke Johnson season, so it can be Danny Amendola season too.
All right, so let's get out of here and talk the 4 p.m. games. Let's start off with your Seahawks hosting the Bears. So I go back to this. I'm going to phrase it a little bit differently. We're back to Justin Fields. But here's the question for you, Funston. If your team happens to have Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, which one do you start?
I go Russell Wilson. I think, I actually feel pretty confident about that.
You want some recently biased fun? During the Seahawks game, I tweeted out, if you were starting or if you had a franchise right now, who do you want as your quarterback, Fields or Wilson? And it was only 59% Wilson.
Wow. Wow. Well, there's some baggage that comes with Russell Wilson. So
still, but it's the recency bias of watching that game and just, yeah.
Look, when he goes up against the Rams, surviving is a win for Russell Wilson. So remember, that was the game he got knocked out earlier in the year, and it's a game where he got one of his most major injuries of his career, which didn't knock him out, but he had to play for most of the season with like a bad knee because of Aaron Donald a couple years ago. So it's always a struggle with the Rams.
Is Penny an RB2 for you? Yeah. I mean, to be honest, look, for everybody out there that might not – look, I forgive you if you didn't watch that game. Also, if you didn't have DirecTV, you couldn't watch the game anyway. But yeah. And actually, if you were on DirecTV channel, you had to switch to 701 to watch the box-by-box side because around, what was it, like 10 or 9 something, they changed it and said your purchase is past the time, and everybody's freaking out because nobody can watch the game anymore. Anyway, that aside, Penny had about 80% of the work when he wasn't in the locker room. He actually, the DJ right. Dallas, the majority of DJ Dallas's touches and the touchdown came while he was getting chiropractic work in the locker room. So that's why I said, is Penny an RB2? Like, because if it's not injury, right. He's an RB2, right?
Yeah,
right?
He's close. I'm having some DJ Dallas kind of love creeping into my mind that maybe they'll even let him.
Alex Collins going to play?
No, I think they're done with Alex Collins. I'd be surprised if he plays much again this year. But I think they're going to explore this combination of Penny and Dallas, and maybe there's a little bit more work there. But I think Penny at worst is probably like the number one or number two RB3 if he's not an RB2.
Okay. Bear side, don't really. It's look, Montgomery, your Fields if you have the quarterback, Mooney, potentially Komet, and actually at a great spot if you need a flyer at tight end, Komet coming off that game as well, but against Seattle. So let's talk Pittsburgh and Kansas City. How far down is Claypool in your rankings? Because I think a lot of people, deservedly so, should consider. And I said should, specifically because I would consider strongly benching Chase Claypool.
Yeah, he's not in my top 30, which is, I think, maybe the first time this year that he's been healthy that I haven't had him in my top 30s. He's right now, he's my last wide receiver 3. So he's
out snap by Ray Ray 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Routes, everything. It's the toe, I'm thinking. The toe is bigger than they're making it.
What does he have? One touchdown after an 11-touchdown rookie season or something like that?
Yeah. It's the big plays aren't there. The toe's bothering him. I think there's a lot more to it. So on the Kansas City side of things, maybe no Hill. Maybe no Kelsey. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is in a great spot, even better spot if either one of those are out. But let's say both of them are out. You know, we're not chasing the tight ends for Kansas City, but how strong of a play would Mecole Hardman be for you if there is no Tyreek Hill?
Honestly think that both Pringle and Hardman would be someone that would be interesting.
Which would you go? Would you go Pringle or Hardman?
I actually think I would go Pringle. I feel like he could be the guy that ends up with the most volume, where Mecole Hardman could still make the big play. But I don't see Mecole Hardman being someone that could take on the Tyreek Hill's usual dozen targets, you know. But I do think that they would take some shots with him like they do with Tyreek Hill. I just feel
that's because he's Dollar Tree Tyreek Hill. That's why.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And I think Pringle could be a compiler, and he could be the guy that could get to 10, 11 targets and actually put up like the 75, 80 yards and be a nice serviceable play.
Okay. Denver at Vegas. Does Drew Lock being at quarterback change anything about the pass catchers? Because for weeks we've been saying don't even start any of them. Yeah, does this change anything for you?
There is some, I'm sure you can go look in the past with Drew Lock. I know that there's been some decency between Lock and Sutton in the past, but it's just, I think this passing offense is so broke, and there's been no carrots to be chasing for those wide receivers. I don't even know how hard they're going through their routes anymore, even expecting. It's been all Javonte and Melvin Gordon. It's kind of working for them. It's getting around the bad quarterback play, and I don't, how can you at this point, after just writing these guys off for so long, decide that this is a week
you're going to go back to them?
Yeah, I don't think you can. You got to go.
If you need a tight end play, do you agree with me that Okwue Bunam might be the sneaky play. And that has nothing to do with the, hey, played in college together and they're best buds and eat cereal at the table. I don't know about that part. But
yeah, well, that could be what? That could be a Travis Kelce pivot or, you know, someone like that where if he's not going to play.
Numbers than Fant. Well, the numbers are almost identical, but he's got a touchdown versus Fant having zero touchdowns of late since he's come back.
I'm pretty sure the Raiders have been a fairly generous tight end.
They have been very generous. Yeah.
Yeah. They used to be. I mean, back when Jack Del Rio was there, that was where you just automatically looked to start the week.
Remember that one year it was just start every rando against Arizona?
Arizona and the Raiders and the Chargers, I think, historically in our lifetime, have been the worst at guarding the tight end position.
And this year, it's been the Chargers again, but Seattle-Houston has been a really good watch. Jared Cook's going to put up two touchdowns this week now that Donald Parham's still hurt with that. God, so happy he's out of the hospital. Yeah. Good grief. That was probably one of the scariest ones I think I've ever seen. On the Vegas side, sticking with them real quick, Darren Waller isn't practicing yet. Foster Moreau could be a pivot, a late play. People dropped him thinking Waller was coming back. Had a good game last week. But on the Vegas side, is this just Josh Jacobs and then whoever the tight end is? Like, are we done? Or... here's my interesting thing is I'm going right back to Renfrow because that's where you destroy the Denver secondary because you don't throw outside against the Denver secondary.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to throw Hunter Renfrow's name out here.
Okay, I just want to make sure for clarification, a lot of people, you know, there's recency bias. A lot of people are pissed off if they squeak through and they see Renfrow's box. Look, I have people that don't want to start Deontay Johnson. They don't want to start Jamar Chase. They don't want to start T. Higgins. Like people, inexperienced people get mad and they don't want to go back to these guys.
Well, I mean, since Waller's been out, like it didn't take long, and we were like, okay, volume and production warrants that we have to get him inside our top 20 every week. And then now all of a sudden, finally, he had a bad game. But I don't think you ignore what else has happened before that. You mentioned how the slot, you know, is where you can hurt the Denver defense there. You know, he's kind of he was the first Amon-Ra St. Brown. Amon-Ra St. Brown's doing what Hunter Renfrow did. In the middle of the season, and suddenly we had to change our view on the guy, you know? So if Amon-Ra St. Brown goes out and throws up a dud, I'm not going to completely just relegate him back to wide receiver 4 status, you know?
Especially if it's Tim Boyle. I mean, we kind of expect
right,
that.
Exactly.
The last game, we'll talk about Monday Night Football on Monday. So the last game for the show. Oh, no, we have two more. We got to talk Thursday real quick before we get out of here. So Washington at Dallas, although Washington's pretty simple too. It's McLaurin, Antonio Gibson, Heineke's going to be back. So if you need a streamer and you're desperate, but that's kind of a more of a desperate streaming type of situation. Hey, maybe if you're banking on Cam Newton, you go Tyler Heineke. On Dallas side of it, Zeke Pollard. So the only question I have on the Dallas side of it is CeeDee Lamb. We know that. Are you benching Amari Cooper at this point?
Well, he is down. I think I have him at wide receiver. I was looking right before the show. I moved him to wide receiver 28. So
he's still in front of Claypool, barely.
He's still in front of Claypool.
Here's one I'll present to you. I tweeted this out, and a lot of people agreed with me, and I think I have this decision, and that's not why I was asking. It's just I think it's intriguing. If Jared Goff plays, Amon-Ra St. Brown, bench Amari Cooper.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's where we're at.
That one's really not even that close. And we talked about this on Monday. Would you go with the name brand? Because Beller was pushing back. And then we were both kind of like, look, you gotta just take away the name.
You're not here because of Cooper. Cooper's not the reason you're in the playoffs.
No, exactly.
Do you know that since week, is it 10 or 12? I know I think it's week 12 because I think it was a little bit more recent than that. DK Metcalf and Amari Cooper both only have one double-digit score since then.
Well, I know on the DK side, it's very close to me, so yes. I know that, and I'm not shocked at Amari because, you know, I watch
a lot of
Dallas.
How about that? Would you start DK or Amari Cooper if you had that choice?
I would go DK,
Chicago?
Just because it's Chicago, although Washington's secondary is beatable as well, so.
But Dak has been, at this point, Dak or Russ, if you had that decision.
I'm going Dak because there's just better playmakers.
Barely, though. I mean, that's where we're at.
I think I'm 9-11 on those two in the rankings this week. So
before we get out of here, Thursday Night Football, if you're tuning in this far, if not, we'll see you on Monday. And you're just checking out because you listened on Friday. You're like, I don't care about Thursday Night Football. We love you. Subscribe, rate, do all that stuff for the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. But 49ers at Tennessee. The situation for the 49ers, Wilson, you're starting, Ayuk, Kittle, like
49ers are done. Like, we don't even need to discuss the 49ers. They're essentially the Vikings. The question is, you alluded to it earlier. Actually, you stopped on it for a second, but I'm glad you moved on because I wanted to save it for this game. A.J. Brown is back. A.J. Brown had a chest injury. There's conflicting reports out there, Fonz. That's the interesting thing here is there's some that are saying they put him on IR to make sure he got healthy. And then there's some that are saying he's coming back as his early possible date, which is like, okay, well, which is it? Is this enough time that he's okay, or is this too early? And now Julio Jones might play all of a sudden out of the blue. So do you even put A.J. Brown in your life? I kind of feel like you have to, because this feels like the upside situation of like Joe Mixon. You kind of have to do it, but where do you draw the line of having to start A.J. Brown?
Well, I'll tell you, in this same game, I would play Brandon Ayuk over A.J. Brown. So I have him ranked, funnily, I have him ranked back-to-back. And I might be a little bit too low on Ayuk, but I have A.J. Brown where I was ranking Julio Jones the last couple weeks, which was right around wide receiver 30. Here's the thing with A.J. Brown. Let's not forget that when Derrick Henry went out, he had like four or three straight games of like 40 yards and was doing nothing. And I think that just those guys get helped by the threat of Derrick Henry in play action, that you're not going to get to the level with Deontay Foreman, even though Deontay Foreman is running well. Now, Julio Jones being out there, that can help a little bit, because that is also someone that...
I just checked. Unless there's a pregame setback, Julio Jones is playing.
Okay. It makes me feel better about A.J. Brown. I don't know that I'm moving him, though, in my rankings.
There's no way you're touching it, Julio Jones, though, right? No way.
Julio, you're a decoy. Thank you. If I have to play A.J. Brown, I'm happy you're there, but you're just a decoy. Yeah. Where are you at on A.J.? Where are you ranking him?
Apparently, according to everybody who's seen my rankings, that's one of the most common of, like, why do you have him so low? And I was like, I have him. I have A.J. Brown at 29. I was like,
okay,
not
yeah.
that low. He's his first game back. It's San Francisco. It's not a cakewalk, but it's also not it's middle of the road matchup at this point. But I don't get it. I don't get the hate for A.J. Brown being at 29. I thought that was pretty fair for his first game back.
Well, and I think, you know, look at that. At 29, if you have three starting wide receiver spots and a flex spot where you can get four wide receivers into your lineup, it's pretty hard to really not play A.J. Brown at that point. I mean, you could certainly have three more wide receivers that are ranked higher in your rankings, but for a lot of people, a wide receiver 29 is someone that you end up having to play. So
yeah.
So I don't know. I don't feel great about him, but you can't ignore there's upside there for sure.
You definitely can't, and you can't ignore hopefully the help that we've given you, and hopefully you enjoy your holidays and your Christmas and your week 16, and you're coming back for next week to talk about your wins and joining us on the podcast. Beller's healthy, and everything's good, and everybody's happy, and if not, you're just coming to enjoy us and our company. So good luck in week 16. Enjoy the holidays. We'll be back on Monday. See you guys later. I don't know why I'm waving.
I know. I do the same thing. Happy holidays.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.